record. And it's going. Okay. And we'll sit it out here in the chair. All right. We're going to be back in our book tonight after I introduce you the pamphlet that we're going to have for this Sunday. And go ahead, if you've got your Bibles, take them and get them open to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, same verses as last time, verses 10 through 13 and then 17. Once you've found your place, if you would stand if you're able, that would be much appreciated. Make sure you guys do pray for Jesse next week. He has taught adults before, so it's nothing new for him. But he has not taught you adults, so that is new for him. Some of you have taught in Sunday school a couple weeks ago. Others of you he has not taught, so make sure you work with him and interact with him and do whatever he's asking you to do, get involved or whatever. Just don't give him the deathly stare. Amen. That stare is like, I have no clue what you're talking about. You're on a different planet. Don't give him that. You know, work with him. Amen. Encourage him. All right, Ephesians 6, I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. Then I'm going to ask you to read verse 17 with me. And we'll get into some things tonight and hopefully try and get more back into the book. By the way, who does not have a book other than G2? Amen. All right. You need to borrow one. Did you get one to Antoinette?
I need to borrow
it too. All right. Y'all got used to me not being in the book, huh? We're getting back to the book tonight. I don't need a pastor. I'm going to get in the book tonight. I am going to get in the book tonight. Amen. All right. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We mentioned before again, that's the position to stand in, verse 10. Position to stand against, verse 11. The reason why is verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemies are unseen, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. May I add to that as well that those enemies that we cannot see are very intelligent. They're very smart, and they're more intelligent than you and I will ever be. Amen. And so he says that there's a potential to stand against verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Read verse 17 with me.
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
The helmet of salvation, again, is that which we have on to show that we are saved, that we're acting like it. People can tell that we're saved. Then he says, do something else. Take the sword of the Spirit. It's the word of God. Amen. By the way, next month we've got two very good DVDs going to show about the Bible. One is Sam Davis, because I like it, because he's simplistic. The other one's a little bit more technical, but they're both good. They both are understandable about why we have the King James Bible. You'll enjoy both of them, I guarantee it. Father, bless now in the next moments that we have together as we look at the Word of God and what people are trying to do to the Word of God. Bless now in our minds and our hearts, Lord. We stand for the King James Bible by conviction, not by convenience. Lord, many would like to change the Word of God and take it out and do many, many different things. But Lord, help us to stand for it. It's been tried. It's been proven. It can be trusted. It's been tested. And help us to love it, Lord, and lean on it and live it best we can by the power of God. Thank you for the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So this Sunday, we've read through several different versions of the Bible, so you're finally going to get one of the versions this Sunday. The New King James Version is the one you're going to get this Sunday. Now, who can tell me what the dangerous thing is about the New King James Version? Jeremiah?
It's not as changed, so you think it's just a little bit of wording.
It's not as changed, and they put that title, New King James. How many of y'all want something new? Everybody wants something new. I mean, I don't want something used. You know, you go into the QT and they give you a QT drink. I don't think you want that. You know, you go into the store and you go to buy some shoes and they give you used shoes or used underwears or used underclothing or used toothbrush. You know, that's pretty gross. You know, I don't want somebody else's toothbrush. Here's a used toothbrush, G2. A man with cavities had it, amen. It'll serve you up. Nobody wants, you know, used stuff. We all want new stuff. So you put this word out there, New King James, and it has this ring to it. A New King James. Wow. Well, this one served me well, and so the new one must be pretty good. Amen? And one bad thing about the New King James is, I would say this, it's eclectic. What do you mean eclectic? All the other Bibles that are out there that came from all the other bad manuscripts, it took that in. But it also took in some of the King James as well. And so now I've got this eclectic Bible here, and they'll do things like this. They'll put a good verse out there, and they won't change it much. But in a footnote, they'll say it's not in the best manuscripts. So you see how they're doing that? And so they try to make this thing sound good. And so let me read to you just a couple things about this one. This is for Sunday. Counterfeit. It means to imitate or copy closely, especially with the intent to deceive, defraud. If you got counterfeit money, what's the intent?
Deceive.
Deceive, to pass it off as a real $20 bill or a real $50 or a real $100. Tony, do you know the difference between a counterfeit $20 and a real $20?
I mean, sometimes you can tell because they're like really dark and really thick, but not normally you can't.
Now, why do I ask Tony? Tony used to work with money. And so I'm sure she had her training. Okay, Tony, this is what it looks like. This is what you feel for. Now, how many 20s of counterfeit do you think you probably took in?
I don't know.
A lot.
Not that many. Only a few here and there.
And sometimes they'll take them, they'll mark across them with a certain marker.
Yeah. We used to mark them a lot, like bigger bills we
marked. Amen. Because now it'll show whether it's real or not. And so the counterfeit's job is to deceive. And so the intent is to deceive by Webster's Dictionary. The greatest deception is to counterfeit. Now, Pastor Wyatt, go to 2 Corinthians 11. And I want you to read verses 14 and 15 because that's the opening verses that they give you on this track. And it says the New King James Version. Ironically, they have a guy on here pulling a Bible out with money around it. He looked like a robber. 2 Corinthians 11 and verses 14 and 15. Read that for me.
And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Amen. Now, by the way, just a trivial question. In the beginning, when Satan deceived Eve, you think he came with pitchfork and horns? Think he came looking like that? Do you think he came looking like he really was?
The devil.
The devil. Do you think he came looking like the devil?
No.
No, the Bible clearly says he came in the form of a serpent. Now, was there anything wrong with serpents back then?
No.
No. And maybe some serpents could talk because Eve didn't think it strange that he talked. Mr. Ed could talk. I'm just going back on my age now. Brother Jesse, like, who is Mr. Ed? The talking horse. You know Mr. Ed? Hey, Balaam the donkey talked. Gregory don't know anything about Mr. Ed.
None of them do.
Oh, yeah. You don't know who Mr. Ed is? Are you kidding me?
I'm
22. How do you know Mr. Ed?
Was he orange?
It was in black and white, so you really couldn't tell. It could have been.
He was so like, I'm really offended.
Wilbur.
Wilbur.
It was black and white, so we don't even know what color it was. It brought like a whitish grayish or something like that. But anyway, going back to the beginning. Eve didn't think of anything strange with the Eve talking. With the serpent talking. And so if the devil really wanted to show his true colors, he could have showed up himself in person. And Eve wouldn't have listened to him. But because he showed up through the serpent, he was able to deceive. What did Eve say? He beguiled me. He led me astray thinking I was doing right. That's what beguile means. And so when you look at these Bibles, most folks will think that these Bibles are okay. And they're really not. The whole intent is to deceive. Amen? And so Pastor White read those two verses there. He says, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. If he came to Eve as his true colors really was, Eve probably would not have listened to him. She would not have. Amen? But he came anyway. All right? It goes on to say this. Among his greatest counterfeits is the New King James Bible. Christians that would never touch an NIV. Listen to this. Never touch an NIV, would never touch a Revised Standard Version or another perversion, are being seduced by the subtle New King James Version. Although the New King James Bible does indeed bear a likeness to the 1611 King James Bible, as you will soon see, there is something else coiled underneath the cover of the New King James Version. The preface of the New King James Version reads, a special feature of the New King James Version is its conformity to the thought flow of the 1611 Bible. The new edition, while much clearer, are so close to the traditional. That's what they tell you. Among the first changes that greets the reader of the New King James is the removal of the much maligned thee, thou, and ye. The preface of New King James states, thee, thou, and ye are replaced by the simple you. Now, according to your booklet here, on the back, they tell you, where is it at? Oops. We went over this when I first gave you the book. Why do we need the thee and the thou? So we already know that it's important, okay? And so it goes on to say this. These pronouns are no longer part of our language. But they were no longer part of our language during the 1611 either. Webster's Third New International Dictionary says of ye, used from the earliest of times to the late 13th century. So why are they there? The Greek and Hebrew use a different word for the second person singular and the second person plural pronoun. Today, we use the one word you for both the singular and plural. But because the translators of the 1611 King James Bible desired an accurate word-for-word translation of the Hebrew and Greek text, they could not use one word you. If it begins with T, thou, thy, or thine, it's singular. If it begins with the Y, ye, or the others, it is plural. By the way, if the New King James translators are so concerned with the outdated these and thous, why aren't they rushing to update our hymn books and taking out how great thou art? How great thou art should be how great you are. And how about come thou fount should be come you fount. It just does not sound right, does it? It's amazing that they would not dare touch our hymns, and yet without the slightest hesitation, they will change the word of God. By the way, normally for a copyright, you gotta change about 60,000 words. Only about 60,000 words. It goes on to say this. Another of these obsolete words is repent. Pastor White, go to Matthew 21:32. And Sam, if you can go to Matthew 27:3. And Jesse, go to Romans 11:29. So Pastor White, you got Matthew 21:32, Sam 27:3, Matthew, and Jesse, Romans 11:29. You got those?
Yes.
Okay, the word in question is repent. Pastor White, read yours.
Matthew 21:32.
Yes.
For John came unto you by the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believe him, and ye, when ye have seen it, repent not afterwards, that ye might believe him.
Okay, you got that, huh? Amen. See, Pastor White choking on the fact they would even remove it from the Bible. Amen. But they take out the word repent in New King James, and they replace that word with relent. Which one is more clear, relent or repent? I think repent is more clear. Brother Sam, 27:32.
Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders.
Now they take that out and they change it to remorseful. So he's not repentant, he's remorseful. Now, by the way, his repentance was not repentance to salvation. His repentance was, I'm sorry it turned out this way. And Romans 11, 29, Jesse?
For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance.
Without repentance. Okay? They changed that one as well, New King James. So all these verses that clearly we know as repent, they have gone to change it. Again, got to have about 60,000 changes to make this work. It gets worse. The New King James removes Lord 66 times, God 51 times, heaven 50 times. The New King James removes 20,066 words. That is equivalent of removing Obadiah, Haggai, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude combined. Of course, they had to replace it with something, so they put in other words. Amen. So that's the one you're going to be getting this week. And, you know, take that over, read it again. You know, that is the one that's caused the most confusion because most folks think that, you know, it's close to the King James Bible. But there's a lot of footnotes in there that make it so dangerous. Amen. All right. So we're going to get back to this book again. What is this? This is the King James Bible Companion. Over 600 archaic words defined. And what we're finding here is that there are certain words that are not in circulation now. I gave you the illustration. Back before Michael Jackson came along, bad really meant bad. Amen. You go to England, fag means a cigarette. Amen. So, you know, there's certain words just have changed there the way you saw it. Gay meant happy, happy, happy. Now, gay doesn't mean happy anymore. Gay means funny, funny, funny. So certain words are archaic, but we have given definitions here in this book, and so we did some already. Let's go to this word here, Luke 14, 32. And the goal here is to see if we can't figure out by looking at the context, what the word means. Because with the King James Bible, with the context, the majority of the words you can figure out, so you really don't need to change the words to make another Bible. Especially because the other Bibles all come from bad manuscripts anyway. And that's really the whole issue right there, the manuscripts that they come from. Luke 14:32. Who's got that? Can read that for me, Luke 14:32. Brother Duffy, you got that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Luke 14:32.
Luke 14:32?
Yes.
Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace.
Amen. An ambassage, just for argument's sake, just looking at the word, what does the word look like?
Ambassador.
Looks like ambassador. And that's pretty much the gist of the word. Now notice the context here. Luke 14, back up with me to verse number, let's go up to verse 25. There went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So he's giving this illustration. If you are not willing to give up this or that or the other, you can't be my disciple. Then verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it? So in other words, he's saying you sit down to a task and you look at your clock or you look at your supplies and make sure you have everything. Okay? Now, for some of you, I have my complex. If I know I can't finish it, I don't want to start it. Others say I'm going to start it and I'll finish it in piecemeal. Amen? My makeup doesn't work that way. It's hard for me to piecemeal something. If I can't finish it, I don't want to start it. But when I start it, don't bother me because I'm going to finish it. Amen? And so he's giving that scenario. And so he says, verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? But sadly, after he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all the behold began to mock him, saying, this man began to build who's not able to finish. So the context here says, you started, but you can't finish. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? He says, you know, I'm going to go to war with him, and I have to consider who has more, me or him. And then he says this, or else, verse 32, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an, there's our word, ambassage, and desireth conditions of peace. So the word ambassage there, as you see there, says ambassador or a message or basically someone that's in seniority or eldership, and they're going to this person to talk about the conditions. So an ambassador. You know, this one's a little bit harder to understand. Deuteronomy 22:19. I'm not going to tell you what the word is until we get there. Deuteronomy 22:19. This one's a little bit more difficult. Who's got Deuteronomy 22:19 already? Again, what am I trying to say? Most of the words that they're calling themselves trying to change or take out, you can figure out by the context. Jesse 22:19.
And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver and give them unto the father of the damsel, because he hath brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel.
Amen.
And she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days.
All right. And so basically the situation here, you know, the guy finds a bride. He wants her. She's not a pure bride. And so now he wants to give her back, basically. And notice what he says here in verse 19. They shall immerse him. The word immerse is in question. We don't use that word immerse. But by the context, what do you think it means? And they shall immerse him in 100 shekels of silver. And don't look at your book, don't you? And give them unto the father of the damsel, because he had brought up an evil name upon a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife, got to keep her. He may not put her away all his days. Immerse. What do you think that means? Immerse.
A fine.
A fine, basically.
I was going to say reimbursed.
Reimburse, a fine. Again, how do you figure that out? The context, you know, clearly tells you what's going on here with that. They're going to immerse him. But if the thing be true, verse 20, and the token of virginity be not found for the damsel, they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house, and then the men of her city shall stone her with stones, that she died. Pretty gruesome, but amen. That's the other part, amen. They're going to stone her. But if not, then they're going to fine him. They say, you lied against her. You pay up, buddy. So the word immerse there means to punish by imposing a fine or urging someone or condemning someone by fining them, or they're inflicting a penalty on him. So that's the word immerse. That's a word that we really don't use. But still, you can kind of figure out by the context what's going on. Okay? Give you another one here. And go over to, and most of us know this one, so this one's going to be pretty easy. Luke 19. This one is easy. Going to be a gimme. This one you can definitely figure out by the context. Luke 19, verses 21 and 22. G2, you there?
Yes.
Read verses 21 and 22 in Luke 19.
For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest thou that didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow.
Amen. So the word is austere. Don't look at your book yet. Just from what he's saying, austere. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man.
And a hard person.
Hard. What else? I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that that thou didst not sow. He said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. He said, you knew I was that way. That's why I said rough. Anything else? That context?
Severe.
What else? From the context. If someone calls you austere, it may or may not be a compliment.
Not a nice person.
Stubborn-headed.
Stubborn, amen. Say if you go to Safeway and you start working, they say, yeah, I'm an austere boss. Probably not going to be in your corner. Amen. The word literally means down there severe, strict, harsh, solemn, rough. And so this was the guy, my wife said, callous. So without feeling. You knew I was that way. So that's pretty rough, amen? All right, here's another one. This one is pretty explanatory as well. Leviticus 22:19. Now again, most of these words we can kind of figure out. Leviticus 22:19. Leviticus 22 and verse 19. Don't look in your book. No cheaters. Leviticus 22:19. And Antoinette, you there? Leviticus 22:19.
Oh, yes.
You read that one for me.
Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish and the beeves of the sheep or of the goats.
Okay. Leviticus 22:19. Now, they're talking about offerings here. So we know it's an animal. Okay? And the word is beeves. Now, what does it look like? Looks like bees, doesn't it? Sort of, kind of. But you know God's not wanting us to offer bees, because that would be dangerous to the priest. Amen? So we know that's not that. But it says, ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves of the sheep or of the goats. What do you think beeves means? Verse 20, but whatsoever hath the blemish, that shall he not offer. For it should not be acceptable for you. Beeves. Who's a farmer? Everybody's a farmer. Okay.
Well, they handle beeves.
So now he said, beeves of the sheep. So what do you think beeves is going to be? It's an animal of some sort. Anybody got a clue?
Well, it'd probably be something both of them would have.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, maybe related in the family of a sheep or a goat.
Goat, actually a cattle, oxen. It's in that family. And so now we don't use that word. But, you know, when you look here, it says beeves, cattle, or it's of the ox family. I'm not a farmer, but I can tell it's an animal, okay? All right, I'll give you two more here, and then we're going to quit. This is one, I think you'll get this by the context. Go to Isaiah 14:23. I think you'll get it by the context. Again, do we need to go and change the Bibles? No, we don't need to change the Bible. We just need to study. You know, folks want it too easy these days. Isaiah 14 and verse 23. This one, I think, by the way it's written, you'll get it. Now notice verse 21. Prepare slaughter for his children for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise nor possess the land nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and son and nephew, saith the Lord. Now notice verse 23. I will also make it a possession for the bittern, that's an animal there, and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the bissum of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. What is a bissum? If I'm even pronouncing that right, Jitu?
Like a brush or a broom.
Like a brush or a broom, it's a broom. That's what he says. I will sweep them with what?
The bissum.
Amen. So when you look at that, he says, I will sweep it with the bissum of destruction. So I'm going to sweep it with the broom of destruction. Said Lord of hosts. He said, I'm going to sweep it with the broom. You know what's going to get you going? How do you get dust going? With a broom. He said, destruction is going to be your broom, basically. And destruction is going to get you going. And so it's very interesting how they have that word there. Amen. Go over to Genesis 26 and verse 31. Genesis 26, that means broom, bissum. Genesis 26, and we're going to quit with this one. Again, just trying to get us to see that the context is very, very easy to figure out oftentimes if we can just read the context of the scriptures. Notice verse 30, and he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning and swear one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. What does betimes mean? They rose up betimes in the morning.
Early.
You might say, well, they woke up two times. No, they didn't wake up two times. They woke up early in the morning. What does it say about the child? Discipline the child. Chasing them betimes. Get them early. It doesn't say get them twice, amen, although that may be necessary, amen. But getting them early on. So the word be times means early or in good time or before it's too late. And so he rose up and got these guys out there early before it got too late. So we praise God for that. So when you look at this, This is very, very interesting. Let me give you just one more. This one I thought was kind of funny. 28:42, Exodus 28:42. And we really will quit after this one. I thought this one was interesting when I looked it up. Exodus 28:42. And he's talking about the garments for the priests here in Exodus 28, verse 42. And notice what it says in verse 41. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them, and for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons' sons, and his sons' sons with him, and shall anoint them, and consecrate them, sanctify them, that they minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from their loins, even unto the thighs they shall reach. Breeches. What are breeches?
Breeches.
Sounds like
breeches. It sounds like breeches, doesn't it? It really does. And it's really not breeches, so to speak. It's actually something that goes from the covers the loins. I remember the loins are from the lower of the rib cage to the thigh. It's actually to cover their private parts. Breeches. And it's to cover their private parts. And he said, this is that. When you look it up in the concordance, now they put down trousers in here. But it actually means drawers for the comely parts. Now, what religion wears that? Trivia question.
Mormons.
Mormons, they have it, it's like an undershirt up here and it comes down to the loins. It's their spiritual protection. Now, it's not going to ward the devil off. But that's what they call it. I remember when I was over in the military years ago and I was the weight manager. And you know, I was supposed to weigh people in. They were supposed to strip down. And this guy came out with this white stuff. And I thought, what is this? He's, oh, this is my spiritual protection. And I looked at him and I thought, protecting you from what? And it's supposed to help them with their procreation of all things. It's supposed to be spiritual protection. I thought, I got armor too, but you can't see mine. Mine's under armor, amen. But anyway, breeches is, it means drawers for your comely parts. I thought that was very interesting when I looked it up. Because he said, thou shalt, notice the reading. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their what? Nakedness. Cover their nakedness. From the loins even unto the thigh they shall reach. I mean, because they had all the rest of the stuff there. Girdles and bonnets and all this stuff. He said, put these loins on them. Amen. Yeah, these breeches on them. So interesting. So these things are here, and I tell you, it's really a blessing that we do have something here. Now, some of the definitions here aren't straight out of the concordance, so you got to be careful. Some of these are from Thayer's dictionary, so these are not right out of the concordance, so be careful with that. And don't think that's the concordance definition all the time, because all the time it's not. So do keep tabs of that, amen? We'll go over some more of these next week. And by the way, one of those down there, the word is brutish. Anybody know what brutish means?
Stupid.
Yes. Stupid. What is Popeye's antagonist?
Brutus.
So there's a form of that. He's stupid. You would think that'd be Fred Flintstone's name, but it's not. Amen. So brutish is one of those words. You can, if you call somebody brutish and they don't know what you're talking about, you have gotten over on them. Amen. Amen. Pastor Mike, come on up, tell us what's going on. Don't forget, pray for Jesse as he's going to be conducting the services next week. Amen. And we're trusting God to work in his life in a marvelous way. So you won't need your book next week. Jesse, would they need your books next week? Don't bring your book next week, amen, but you will need it the week after when I get back.
All right. But there's some things we do want to make you aware of. Be in prayer for, again, those of us that will be traveling this coming week, weekend and week. A lot of things are going on for the summer months, people vacationing. But remember, this Saturday we will be going out to pass out hangers for our Father's Day on Sunday, the following Sunday. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please come out to do that. We're looking forward to a great time that Sunday. So just pray about that.